Amen. And hopefully we can all say that and look at our lives and see where He did lift us up, where He did save us. The Bible says we were converted, we were born again, speaking of that time. And we, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we became new creatures because we had a new outlook on life and a new understanding of who we were and who God was. So that was a good song to think about that and get us focused here today. Today we're going to look at Esther chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to Esther chapter 5. We're going to look at courage. Because in this chapter we're going to see Esther at the very beginning exhibit courage. And we've seen how this has played out so far in the book of Esther, and that right now there is a decree for all the Jews that all the Jews are to be killed in the Medo-Persian Empire, an empire that ruled from about 637 BC till about 400 some. So we're talking about 400 to 600 years before Christ. And at this time a decree was made that all the Jews in that nation should be killed, but there was one woman, Esther, who was a Jew, although nobody knew it, that was the queen. She was the wife of the king. And so she was put in this position, and her dad, her stepdad, Mordecai had said in chapter 4, verse 14, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" God had placed her in such a time and such a place in order to do a specific work. And that's true for each of us. We're at a specific time and a specific place, working at a specific job, living in a specific house for such a time as this. And God has stuff He wants for us to do. He has things He doesn't need for us to do, because we even see here that if she wouldn't have done it, God would have saved them, brought up salvation somewhere else. God doesn't need us, but God uses us. And we, if we're willing, He doesn't force us. If we are willing, we can be instruments for Him. And so, what it takes, though, and what it took in Esther's case was courage. So we're going to look at courage and where courage comes from, what we can learn about courage, what we can see in the Bible about courage, how we can have courage to live the lives that we're supposed to live, that God wants us to live. So if you please stand with me. Esther chapter 5. We're going to read the first three verses of the book of Esther, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that You be with us this day. Be with us during this sermon. Help me to be able to preach clearly and to be able to rightly divide Your word of truth, to be able to bring out truths that are in this, and that we all may look at these things, myself included, and be able to grow, and be able to live lives courageously for You. I ask that You be with us during the remainder of this sermon. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we want to look at courage. Now there was a man named Joe Delaney. This was in 1983. He was a running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was a rookie of the year, or maybe took fourth in the voting in 81. But he was a rookie of the year candidate for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he did not know how to swim. This man from Louisiana did not know how to swim. A 25-year-old young man. And he was at this amusement park, and three children were drowning out in this pond. They shouldn't have been in the pond anyway, but three children were drowning. Here's Joe Delaney not knowing how to swim, but he jumped in after them, tried to save these three kids, ended up saving one of them, two of them drowned, and he died with them. Now, when we think of that, this man that knew he couldn't swim, that jumped in to save, do we look at that and say that's admirable? I mean, was that courageous? And we say that's a hero, isn't it? He saved one young man. We don't know where that young man is, but I mean, that's a hero. That's what we call heroes. And we as people say that's great. You know, that was something extraordinary. We look at our soldiers who are willing to go over and be in, you know, bullets flying and many of them dying. Why? So that we could have freedom here. And we say that's a hero. We look at our policemen, our firemen. They're willing to go in. Anybody that's willing to risk their life or lose their life to save others. We say that's a hero. And we admire that. I think all of us, whether you're a Christian, you know, whether you're a Buddhist, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're an atheist, we all admire heroes that are willing to sacrifice their life. And I say that just because of that, we look at courage, people that are courageous, and we admire that. Just the fact that we do that points to there being a God. Points to that. And I look at that, and of course I was an old science teacher, so I think of this. I used to, you know, be an evolutionist and believe that, you know, we were created, you know, we weren't created, we were just, you know, formed animals and changed, and then sooner or later there came human beings. Well, we're really just glorified animals. But if that's the case, how does evolution work? It's survival of the fittest. It's those that survive, they reproduce and pass on their genes to the next generation. Now, if we just look at animals, like as a deer hunter, you know, you're hunting bucks or something. It's the buck that's really courageous and stands out there in broad daylight and tries to guard his, that buck's going to get what? He's going to get shot. His genes aren't going to pass on. It's the bucks that go in the middle of the night that you never see, that are hiding all day long. Those are the ones that grow the big antlers. That's why it's hard to get them. But those are the ones that pass on their genes, and they're not courageous. You know, they're not out there boasting. And so just evolution on its own doesn't breed courage. You know, you look through all of the history of humankind, it's the warriors and the soldiers and the knights and the people that are courageous, and even your Esthers that are willing to risk their lives. A lot of them lost their lives, but the ones that aren't willing to do that, that are sitting back in the shadows, they'd be living. And by this time, we'd be full of, there'd be no courage. You know, that would have weeded itself out a long time ago, but yet we still see people exhibit courage, and we still admire courage. Evolution can't account for courage. The only thing that can account for courage is that we are made in the image of God, and we know inside ourselves, whether we're atheists, whether whatever we are, we know that intrinsically human life is important, and that it is something good to save another life, and many people don't know that it's because we're created in the image of God. And people know that inside, they can't verbalize that, but that human life is important. And so that's where we see Esther at. Esther was a queen. She's in the palace. She's not living a great life as a queen. She had not seen her husband in 30 days, the Bible tells us. I mean, this king that she was married to was not a guy that I don't think anybody would want to be married to. He divorced his first wife because she wouldn't come right when he wanted to. Now he doesn't even call his wife for 30 days. And the rule was in that kingdom, if you weren't called into the king's court, you can't go. And if you do go, unless he happens to hold out a scepter to you, you're going to die right then and there. That's the rules of the Medo-Persian Empire. And in this Medo-Persian Empire, there was no bending of the rules. We think back, this is the same empire that Daniel, he was a friend of the king, Darius. Darius got kind of tricked into passing a law that you have to pray to him. Daniel wouldn't pray to Darius, he prayed to God. And so Daniel got caught, and they told Darius, Daniel has to be thrown to the lion's den. That's what the law says. Darius didn't want to, but the law of the Medes and the Persians, it says in the Bible over and over, cannot be changed. And so he had to throw Daniel in the lion's den, and God, he protected Daniel there. But the law could not be changed. So this law that no matter who it was, it didn't matter if you're the wife, the queen, the brother, the dad, if you come into the court of the king without being asked, you're probably going to be killed. So Esther knew that, and she hadn't been called in for 30 days. But Mordecai asked her, and he said, can you do something about this? Can you go in and make an appeal to the king that he would save the Jews? Maybe you're the person God has for just a time as this. Now, Esther's living in the palace. She's got all these helpers around her, servants. Nobody even knows she's a Jew. She's not in danger. Mordecai said, you know, if you don't, I mean, your family's going to be killed. You could be killed. Maybe somebody would have ratted her out or something. But right then, I mean, in Esther's mind, she's not in danger. It's not her whose head is on the chopping block. But yet, she decides that she's going to go and risk her life to save these other people. That's courage, to risk your life to save others. It can only be accounted for because human life is important. Human life is precious because we're made in the image of God. But she could have had many excuses to not do this. She could have just said, well, it's not the time yet. I'll wait for God to, when he calls me in, or I'll wait until it seems like it's just right and do all, but she went in and she actually broke the law. Actually put her life on the line after 3 days of fasting and prayer to save others. So she was in danger. And her husband was not a stable guy, was he? I mean, just because his first wife didn't come, he went crazy, had this wrath, and got rid of her. So why did she do this? It doesn't say, but I want to look at why we would and why we can be courageous. And normally we think of courageous as doing the firefighter thing or the policeman, but there's other things, and we'll look in the Bible that it talks about being courage. What is courage? The definition of courage is bravery, that quality of mind which enables man to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness. So being able to encounter danger or difficulty with firmness. So we all, every day of our life, do we not encounter some difficulty? And we can go one of two ways, probably. We can either face it or we can, you know, not face it. We can either do what's right or we can do the easy way, maybe what's wrong. But courage is being able to face that with firmness. And we can do that if we're built our lives on the solid rock. We can be courageous. Let's turn to the book of Joshua. So Esther was a model of bravery, of courage. We'll go to Joshua chapter 1. In the book of Joshua, God tells them a lot to be strong and of a good courage. Let's start in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. We want to be courageous Christians. We want to live life courageously, where when we're faced with a difficulty or a danger, we can stand there, we can face it with firmness as Christians. So the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, just to set the scene, chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. So God is speaking here. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. And we come down to verse 6. God says to Joshua in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. But he tells Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And look at verse 7. This is interesting. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. So it's going to take courage for Joshua to do what the Lord has commanded, to do what he had commanded Moses through the law, to keep the Ten Commandments. To do what was right, it takes courage. Go down to verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So Joshua was to be strong, he's to be of a good courage, he's to not turn to the right or left, have courage to do what God has told him to do. And we have a whole book that God has told us to do, but it's going to take courage for us to do what God has told us to do. But we can be strong, we can be of a good courage, for the Lord our God is with us. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have God with us. We have the Helper, the Comforter. So whatever difficulties, whatever dangers, whatever there is, we can face it with firmness because we have that solid rock, that foundation, that God is with us. We can be just as Joshua, strong and of a good courage. Turn to Joshua 23. Joshua chapter 23. Esther could be strong and of a good courage because she knew she had God with her. They prayed and fasted for 3 days. All of Susa, that city, had prayed and fasted for her. Joshua chapter 23, verse 6. Again we read, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Again, we're told here to be courageous is not to, not talking here to lay down your life and die to save other people's lives, not running into a burning building, you know, not going into crossfire. Here it says, be courageous to keep and do all that's written in the book. So it's going to take courage for us to keep and to do all that's written in this book. We can know and we can have God's law written on our heart and we can be convicted and we can know what we need to do as Christians, but it's going to take courage to do that. To be able to face that difficulty, what doesn't look easy to us, to be able to do it with firmness, we need to be strong and of a good courage. Be ye therefore very courageous to be able to encounter these difficulties with firmness. So how can we have courage? Now I want to look a little bit at maybe some situations we could be in. And then how can we, I look at three different ways that I think we can have courage that accounts for how we can face these things with firmness. First of all, we know that the book tells us, the Bible tells us that we are to be holy. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. I go here, this is very plain what this book tells us to be, what it tells us to do. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, "But as he which hath called you is holy, God, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." So we are to be holy. We're to be set apart. Set apart from what? Sin. Set apart from the world. As Christians, as God's people, just as Christ said, you know, my kingdom's not of this world. He was in the world, but he was not of the world. We're to be just like that, to be holy in all manner of conversation, in everything we say, in everything we do, because it's written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. So that right there is going to take some courage. Because to be set apart is not what we want. As I mean, I'm just speaking for myself. We want to fit in. We don't want to be set apart. We want to, you know, in schools and stuff. I mean, you want to be in the in crowd. You want to have friends. You want to be popular. And that doesn't go away. No one wants to be, you know, that weirdo over there, you know. And we don't have to be weird, but we're to be set apart. To be set apart. And so there's going to be some things where we have to make decisions because the Bible says, Be ye holy because I am holy. There's going to be situations we're in, you know, young ladies, young men in school, with friends, there's going to be situations you're in that you're going to have to make decisions that may not be the most popular. Amber, when you go to school, you might have to make decisions that aren't going to be the most popular. It'd be better for your social life. It'd be better for all these things to go with this crowd and do these things. But the Bible says, Be ye holy for I am holy. That takes courage. And I don't think it just ends in high school and college. I think that takes courage, at least for me, every single day. So how do we do this? Number one, I think to have courage, to be able to stand in these difficulties with firmness, we need to fear the Lord. We fear the Lord. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Let's start with Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29. So we need to actually fear the Lord because God is holy. God has wants us to be holy. It is written, Be ye holy. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. So if we fear what men think, if we fear men, what they can do to us, that's a snare to us. It's going to grab us and hold us and paralyze us. If something's caught in a snare, it can't move. If we're afraid of man, it paralyzes us. We can't move. But it says this, The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So we want to fear the Lord. We don't want to fear man. So one way that we can have courage is to know who we should fear. We don't fear man that brings a snare, but Ecclesiastes 12, just the next book right after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, tells us who we should fear. We don't fear man. That brings a snare. But Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, Let us hear the whole conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We are told to fear God and keep His commandments. So a lot of times, myself, speaking for myself, we fear man. We fear what he can do, and it snares us, it paralyzes us. We're not courageous because we fear man, but we should fear God. So we need to remember that. We do not fear man, we fear God. And that's him alone do we fear. We put our trust in Him. So that's number one, how we can take courage, how somebody can be courageous, is they understand that they fear God and don't fear man. So whatever decision in your life, whatever you're in your life, you know, where you're coming up against this difficulty or this decision or something, who are you fearing? I mean, look at it. Am I doing this because I fear man, or do I do it because I fear God? If it's because you fear God, that's good. If it's because you fear man, then you got to look at it. The fear of man bringeth a snare. To be courageous, we have to understand where our fear should be. Number two, to be courageous, we need to understand that we do it, and we do these things. We're courageous for Christ in order because He is worthy of it. Number one, we fear God, but number two, think of what He did for us. I mean, God sent His only Son to earth to live, to be spit upon, to be reviled, to be hated, to be mocked, to be scourged. Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ willingly allowed Himself this stuff to happen to Him and to be put on a cross, to be pierced through in the hands, to have a crown of thorns put on His head, to shed His blood, to die, to take the wrath of God upon Himself so that we would not have to. That's what God has done for us. And I've said this before, you know, in the past years, but think of a man that takes our punishment. If we really committed a crime and we need to go to the electric chair, or we need to spend life in prison, and somebody comes in and they somehow take that punishment away. They put themselves in our place. Or they pay to get us released. I mean, what would we do for that person? We'd be indebted to them. We would surely not, you know, hate them. We would surely want to please them. And that's not even to be compared to what Christ did for us. Christ did this for eternity. We would be looking at, as Christians, we'd be looking at eternity in hell without Christ. And so, how can we be courageous? We can think of what Christ has done for us. So Jesus Christ came, He died, He shed His blood, He died for our sins, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That no matter what we've done in our life, no matter where we've been, no matter, you know, we could have been involved in whatever, we could have been in church forever, but it comes to a point where we have to call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, and then we can be saved. We must call out to Him. We must believe on Him. We must understand our sinfulness and understand that we are not deserving based off our works, based off our going to church, based off of, you know, everybody thinks they're a good person. But according to the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. There's none righteous. There's none that doeth good. They're all together gone out of the way. Everybody, no matter from, you know, the person who's on the United Way board that serves all this stuff, does all this charity stuff, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. From the person that's a preacher that's, you know, been a preacher for all their life, been a pastor. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And once we understand that we are one of that none, and that we do not do good, we do not deserve eternal life, we deserve punishment, we deserve hell because we've broken God's law. We've sinned against God. He told us to be ye holy, for I am holy, and we have not been. We call upon the name of the Lord. We ask Him to save us, and He said He will. All that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. So I ask you this morning, if you have not, if you haven't, like that song we sang, when that last song, if we haven't had that time in our life, we have came to God. We have asked Him for salvation. We have put our faith and our trust. We've believed on His name. If you have not done that, I ask you to do that this morning. And if you want to talk more about this and look in the Word, please see me for that as well. But we cannot trust in a baptism when we're an infant. We cannot trust in being confirmed when we were some so-and-so. We cannot trust in going to church all our life. I mean, none of those things does the Bible say save us. It's only believing on Jesus Christ and being born again. Jesus said, except ye be converted, ye shall not see the kingdom of God. So have you been converted? Look at yourself, examine yourself, see whether you're in the faith. We could die tomorrow. We could die today. Don't put it off. Examine yourself. Do you know that if you die, that you're one of Christ, that you would go to heaven? Because Jesus said there's going to be many that will come to Him in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things, great things for You? And we've been in church and we've done all this stuff. And He says, depart from Me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You don't want to be one of those. The gospel, the good news is that Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins. We can trust in Him and put our lives in His hands. He's paid the price. And He is worthy. He's done that. So it's really being courageous in order to stand up in these difficult situations, in order to do what's right, do what God has told us to do in His book. It's a form of worship. Remember Abraham last week. Abraham was taking Isaac, his son, to go sacrifice his son. And that's the first time he said, we're going to go up here and worship. The first time in the Bible the word worship is used wasn't like what we think of worship. It was being obedient. Was it not? And so a form of worship. And worship just means that we apply worth to God, to Christ. It's the property of being worthy. That's what worship means. And so it's a form of worship saying, you are worthy, God, for what you've done for us, I can be courageous for you. That's the second thing. I think number one, we have to fear the Lord and not fear man. Number two, we are courageous because He is worthy. He's worthy of us being courageous for Him. He's worthy of us living our lives for Him. Number three, He's promised that what we do here on earth matters, and that we can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal. Or we can lay up treasures on earth and those things will corrupt. Those things will fall apart. Those things can get stolen. You know, you can have all this gold in the safe and the gold market can plunge down. I mean, we can have all this stuff. We can lay up treasures on earth or we can lay them up in heaven. And that's what I know Esther, when she was looking at this, she had an eternal perspective. She knew that things mattered on earth. And our lives do matter. What we do matters. God has works that He wants us to do, that He's before ordained that we should walk in them. So us being courageous to do what He's told us to do, us being courageous to follow the convictions of our heart, us being courageous to fear God, not fear man, those things matter. And God has said that it's not all in vain. Think of witnessing. No, let's go to Luke 24, verse 47. Luke 24. Because one thing that can be where our courage is tested is when we're witnessing, when we're sharing the gospel with other people. I'd be willing to say, I don't know, Ed and Virginia, I mean, spent 40 years down in Ecuador as missionaries, but still, when you go and get ready to witness to somebody in Wendy's or something, I mean, still there's an element of fear, is there not? I mean, we have to fear the Lord, not fear man. We have to think of He is worthy for us to do this. And He's commanded it. Look at Luke 24, verse 47. I don't think it's ever a time where it's just, there's not an element of fear there, that we need to be courageous. And if there was no fear, there'd be no need to be courageous. But we're to be full of courage. Look at verse 47, Luke 24, 47. We always read the Great Commission out of Matthew 28, where He said, go ye therefore, you know, teach all nations, making disciples of them and baptizing them. Look at this Great Commission, right before Christ leaves. He says, Christ said in verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So it's a command for us to preach repentance and remission of sins in His name, in Jesus Christ's name, to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That goes on to us today. We're commanded to preach that, and not just a preacher, not just a pastor. We're commanded, all of us, in all of our life, we are witnesses unto these things. We're witnesses for Christ when we're out there. We're commanded to preach His name among all nations. Now that's tough. It takes courage. So how are we going to do that? One thing too we can look at is that God has promised that He will reward us for the work we do on earth. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 11. So how are we going to be courageous in our lives? Number one, fear God, don't fear man. Remember that. Number two, do it because He's worthy. for what He did for us. And number three, we know that it's not in vain. It's not that the things we do here matter, and the things we do, the Bible says that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents over the... I mean, there's joy in heaven. They're watching, they're seeing the things going on down here on earth. There's joy in heaven over these things. So when we go to our neighbor to talk to them, we invite them over to talk to them, we hand out a tract, or we, however we're doing, however we're preaching the name of Christ, there's eternal ramifications. It matters. It matters in heaven. Look at Matthew 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So when people treat you poorly because of your stand for Christ, rejoice when people do that, it says. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So we are to rejoice even in the face of this persecution if we're getting persecuted for Christ. Because great is your reward in heaven. Look at Matthew 16. I mean, we can take courage in this as well. We take courage because we know what we do here. If we want to build up stuff that will last, we have courage. We do the things that God told us to do. We live the life He told us to live. We be ye holy, because I am holy. We set apart. We go out and witness. We put others before ourselves. We do all these things that are tough, but we do them because we know there's eternal rewards. Matthew 16, verse 27. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Now look at that. Every person is going to be rewarded for their works. Now we know that if we're rewarded for salvation on our works, then all of us would fail. So those that are not trusting in Christ for salvation, if they're trusting in their works, they'll be rewarded, but they'll be rewarded, the reward will be death. But for those that are coming to Christ in His name, they're coming to heaven not on their own basis of their works, but because of Christ's work on the cross, they're going to be in heaven. But it still says that every man will be rewarded according to the works. So we will come, and it talks about that in 1 Corinthians 3, with the works that we've done, the portfolio of things we've done in our life for Christ. Only those things that are built on Christ are going to last. All other things will burn up, but we're going to be rewarded according to our works. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. And I really think if we could grasp a hold of this, myself included, and live this way, that we fear God, we don't fear man. He is worthy what He's done for us. I mean, why would we not do anything for Him? We would do anything for Him. And number three, that all this stuff that we do counts. It matters. It's not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It matters what we do here on earth. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're steadfast, we're unmovable, we're always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the way we should live our lives. I mean, that's going to take courage to do it, but this is what we're told to do because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. All the other labor is vain. You look at the book of Ecclesiastes, I mean, we can work and get houses, we can work and get money, we can get all this pleasure, we can do all that stuff's vanity. Vanity, the Bible says. But the work in the Lord is not in vain. So we to have courage, because we see an example of that in Esther. She had courage. She went and stood before this king, not knowing. She said, if I perish, I perish. Chapter 4, verse 17 of Esther. She said, I'll go in before the king, and if he doesn't hold out the scepter, if I perish, I perish. She was willing to die to save these other people. Are we willing to have courage? Courage to do all things that are written in the book that He's given us. Courage to die for others if need be. Courage to live for others. Courage to live for Christ. Do we have that courage? Let's not fear man, let's fear God. Let's love Him because He is worthy. Jesus Christ said in John 14, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He died for us. God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. If we love Him back, we keep His commandments. You know, there might be times you're tempted, you know, it's just you and your computer or something, and there's pornography, you want to look at pornography. There's times, if you love me, keep my commandments. That might take courage right there. The weak thing to do would be to go ahead and look at that. Take courage. Be strong. Fight. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians 6. But do it because He's worthy. He's worthy of us to have courage to do the right thing. And we know that it's not in vain. The stuff we do is not in vain. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Wherever you're at, whatever battles you're facing in life, wherever you're at with work, whatever it is, have courage. We're told to be strong and of a good courage. Just like Esther. And we can do it if our focus is on God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that Esther was an example of courage and that Your Word shows us how to be courageous. Lord, help us to do the things You want us to do. All of us have a different race to run. All of us have different things that are going to face us as soon as we leave here today. Different challenges, different temptations, different obstacles. Lord, help each one of us to look to You and to look to Your Word on what we should do and to not fear man, but to fear You. And to be able to remember Your sacrifice for us and that You are worthy of us doing whatever it takes in our life because of what You've done for us. Because You saved us when we were not worthy. But You are worthy, Lord. And help us also to have an eternal perspective and to remember that Your Word promises that what we do here on earth is not in vain. We're not just here waiting until we die. We have stuff to do while we're here. Help us, Lord, each of us, to be able to follow You. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.